You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to our guest, Nicole Lively. Nicole is the Managing Director of Client Success at Meltwater, one of the leading media intelligence companies in the world. Founded in 2001, they have grown to service over 30,000 customers across 120 countries. They have 2,000 employees and 55 offices worldwide. Nicole also enjoyed a tenure at Dow Jones, a news and business intelligence company responsible for the company's growth in Canada. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for joining me. So glad to have you.
Hi. Thank you. Very glad to be here.
Yes. So I love to talk about Meltwater and media monitoring and data and how that helps agencies like mine. So
me too.
Perhaps you can start by telling me, a little bit about Meltwater and how you service your clients.
Yeah. So I think you did a great job. We really live by this mantra or this saying, media intelligence. So it's more than media monitoring. It's more than data collection. It's what can you do with it? And I think that's really the defining or maybe the guiding light that we use as a company in order to inform what we bring to market, what our engineers are delivering on, and then also how we approach and support our clients. So we often use that lens to think about, are our clients actually able to execute what they need to execute as quickly as they need to execute with the most amount of data available? And to that end, what we really think about is, if our clients are relying on reporting or analytics to help inform their strategy, perhaps they're using it to go to boards and ask for budgets, well, all of those functions that a team utilizes in order to support their roles and their departments are really dependent on the quality of data that those reports pull in. And that's really where we're, okay, it's more than just having data. It's, can we have the most data? Can we have the best data? And then can we help our clients actually use that data in meaningful ways?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how did you get into data and media intelligence?
Well, I think once upon a time, I would have said that I fell into it. And I would have said I stumbled across Meltwater. I actually knew someone that worked here. And that helped because that made me think of the type of company I wanted to work for. And they'd had an amazing experience. And so all those things ring true. Today, I would say that I was always meant to be someone that was client-facing and client-supporting. And just by my own nature of interest, technology in data and reporting, I find to be fascinating, despite someone who doesn't have an education in that. I just naturally gravitate to those types of conversations. And so in many ways today, I would say that it was a perfect storm and it all came together. And then I like very nicely had someone that I knew that was like, this is a great company to work for, which it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And how about your role at Meltwater? What would you describe a typical day would look like?
Well, every day is different. And I think that's part of the reason why I love it. It can vary. And I'm sure this is the same for so many listeners on this call, especially in your instance where you're dealing with clients yourself. But in my current role, I would say 90% of my role is managing the team that's underneath me. So mm-hmm. I used to be day, day out client facing, where that was what I did all the time. Since entering into this current position as the managing director, it's ranged over the last year and a half, but anywhere between 7 to 12 people on my team that report up to me that are account managers that are supporting our clients, our 2,000 clients across Canada. So a day could mean a little bit of their career progression. What are they working through? Making sure that they feel like there's a next step for them and that they've got the foundation in order to move there. Mm-hmm. I do typically get brought in when things need to be resolved in cases where maybe a contract wasn't done and there was maybe some miscommunication. I can come in and resolve that. Or in really good situations where we need to get creative about what we offer and think outside the box, I'm brought into that too. So it can be anything. And I think that maybe makes it the most interesting.
I bet, for sure. Who are your clients? How would you describe them?
I would say our clients. So we just manage Canadian clients out of my team. So first and foremost, mm-hmm. my clients are Canadian. But mm-hmm. then from there, across Meltwater, I'd say our clients are any organization or an organization that supports organization like an agency that has mm-hmm. news coverage or mm-hmm. social coverage. That's, I think, the base foundation. So mm-hmm. if you are a brand that gets a ton of Reddit content or TikTok content, that's going to mm-hmm. be our bread and butter. Or if you're maybe a more traditional organization that really relies on top tier media across the country for your communications mm-hmm. efforts, that is the baseline. And then from there, it differentiates because we do support marketing teams quite well. A marketing team doesn't always focus on things like traditional media coverage. So mm-hmm. a client that has a need for social management, community management, that will also fall under our purview. So it's, mm-hmm. maybe the better way to put it is there is data, there's content, there's people talking about them. They care about their mm-hmm. brand perception. They care about whether or not they're getting good coverage, bad coverage, whatever it might be. That all falls under the Meltwater umbrella.
Mm-hmm. So as you know, my agency uses Meltwater and yes. we've been using it for just over a year now at this point. And before that, we're a small agency. There's about typically 8 to 10 of us at any given time. And we have about 2 dozen clients, but we were doing it manually before and taking, I don't know, at least probably 15 to 20 hours a week, just trying to stay on top of all of the media monitoring yeah. and coverage, which as you know, is probably not a sustainable amount of work to do, but everything has been really great. And now it's just really discovering how to use it and optimize it to our best mm-hmm. advantage and streamline things. So it's been interesting. And Meltwater has also been going through some acquisitions lately as well. So you just keep growing your services.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe to your point about optimization, I think that's a big goal for all of us, especially being on the client side. It's maybe a buzzword, but it does mean quite a bit. And being mm-hmm. able to give you back some minutes or hours in your day is, I think, maybe a KPI for us to measure success. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then on the acquisition side, yeah, it's a very exciting time to be here mm-hmm. and to be working on this side and in this industry. Mm-hmm. We went public back in December. And the big point of that, despite being a privately held company for nearly 20 years, was in order to build the capital to make really meaningful acquisitions to support our clients globally. And mm-hmm. in the past, we had made some really excellent acquisitions, two of which were Canadian companies, which I love to plug. We acquired mm-hmm. Infomart from Post Media, and then we also acquired an excellent Sysmos or social listening tool called Sysmos.
Right.
But then the acquisitions that we've made since going public, so the acquisitions in the last 6 months, have been global solutions and not just in areas around social, because that was one big focus for us. So we acquired Linkfluence. We mm-hmm. also acquired a partner of ours, an Israeli company, Clear, for social yeah. influencer management, which is an mm-hmm. excellent tool. But then mm-hmm. also Owler, which mm-hmm. is a different data set than what we had seen Meltwater do before, but I speak to the trajectory that we're on about giving our clients the best and most amount of data possible. And acquiring a company like Owler gives us really unique abilities around competitive reporting and competitive benchmarking on a global scale.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. I think that's going to be, I don't know what we're doing with it just yet, what we're building out, but I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah. How do you think data is changing communications right now?
It's a great question.
A loaded question.
I mean, it is. It is a loaded question because it depends on who you ask, if it's changing it for the good or is it changing it for the bad? Or, mm-hmm. But I would also say, I think maybe the biggest obstacle that data has presented, which has forced communications and marketing to change, is the mm-hmm. amount of data available.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel from our clients and you might as well, considering how much data there is out there, there's an expectation that nothing is missed. Nothing can fall yeah. through the cracks. Yeah. And the reality is that despite that amount of data creating that expectation, it's almost the amount of data that makes that impossible to do. There's yes. so much to weed through. There's so much noise. Mm-hmm. And I would maybe argue that the change that Meltwater has seen because of the increase of data available to us today is being forced in a good way to really change the way that we look at data. And I would say that the product that I started with when I first joined Meltwater in 2016 was great for 2016 standards. But today, the filtering, the way that we can look at data, how granular we can get, the segmenting that we can do, allows for our clients to find that proverbial needle in a haystack. And I mean, we could talk about data all day. I'd argue there's an excellent article from The Economist that talks about how data is the gold rush of the 21st century. And I would say that it's up to us as software providers like Meltwater to be those miners for our clients, because otherwise it's just so difficult to wade through.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your earlier point about optimization, it's how do you choose which data is suitable for which clients?
Yep, absolutely. And I would say that there, again, a loaded question, but we were talking offline about how do we make sure that we're presenting the best solutions to our clients and how do we understand their needs? And sometimes that presents a problem for us or an obstacle. That's because when we're talking about this or presenting a solution to a client, how do we actually make sure that we're not overloading them and making them feel completely overwhelmed with all of the potential decisions in front of them, but also make sure that they don't feel like they aren't getting what they need. And I think maybe a worst case scenario for us as a provider is if a client says, well, we're not happy with our services because you don't have X and Y, when in reality, we've always had X and Y.
Right.
We were cautious of inundating with the volume of information that we've got.
Yes. So when you're working with a client, how do you decide or how do you help them decide what mix of services they'll need?
I'd say that that is the art of it all. There are certainly standard needs analysis. So as a manager, my job is to build that out. What types of questions are really getting to the nitty gritty and encouraging the client to open up and share as much as possible so that we can kind of sift through those answers and come up with some solution. There's also a massive degree of trust building and relationship building that goes into that in order to have our clients feel comfortable in opening up about the obstacles that they're facing internally so that we can fix them. But then also I would say that it's really about listening. And it's funny because here I am chatting away, but in the reality of it, when if I'd actually try and shut it down for most of the conversation and really encourage you to talk as much as you feel comfortable, find those cues, ask those questions, and then make some recommendations based on what you've said. Because every client is different, so it's hard to have a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, absolutely. And also budgets are a consideration as well, depending on the size of the agency and how, you know, you pick and choose what you feel like will bring the best ROI. So that's something that we're certainly hyper aware of at all times. How do you go about actually collecting the data? Am I picturing this big room of hundreds of people that are literally just listening and scrolling through their phones and finding those keywords, or what does that look like?
Okay, so it's quite impressive, I'd say. There are some big rooms, but they are not filled with people listening and scrolling through their phones. I think that the beauty of this time, it is a computer software that very intelligent engineers from Meltwater have developed over the years and created algorithms. Maybe the most simplest way would be to look just for those keywords, but we do take it into sentiment analysis, geographic analysis, brand perception analysis, and we'll kind of go from there. But then from that, it really opens up the room or maybe the opportunity to say, okay, we've got this algorithm in place. Can we apply it to other data sets? Because there are data sets available to you and I that are freely available. So we're very easy for Meltwater when it first became a company 20 years ago to access. And then there are data sets that are not so easy to access and you actually need to pay for them. And that's been a big part of our strategy and was able to execute that prior to going public. I would argue that we will have the buying power to do that to a greater degree today because of going public. But we've just purchased, maybe the simplest way, we've just purchased our APIs from major news sources globally and from major social networks. Like every major social network in the world has an API up for sale. It's a big business for them, and Meltwater pays for it.
Yeah, it's so interesting how media monitoring has evolved over the years. I remember 20 years ago when I was first starting out, I would get a big pile of hard newspaper clippings, all, you know, hand cut from each newspaper with the notes and everything. And then I would then have to take it and file it away in binders. And it's just so amazing to go in and how automated it is and how streamlined that you've made it.
It's so funny. So my partner actually is in marketing and started his career in communications, and his first job at an agency was doing physical cutouts, where he was going and getting newspapers, he was getting the magazines, and he was cutting them out. And then every client had a different binder, so he can speed read, which is an amazing skill that he developed at a young age, but he doesn't need to use it anymore.
Yeah, that's so interesting. What would you say is the best way to get to know your audience if you were working with your clients?
Okay, so what I'll give you is there's two answers, because to a point that you rightfully made, budgets vary very differently across organizations and size. Say for a smaller organization where budget is of top concern, I would do, if you're doing already some social outreach, especially if you have a budget to do some light paid work, Facebook or any social network that works for your clients. On the back end of that, well, on the front end, when you're posting, you're actually able to select some ideal demographics and locations. And I would say that you could deduce that if that post does well, then you were getting at least some understanding of who your audience is and whether or not it's working out well. Then there is the opportunity if you have a larger budget. The reality is, like I said, this is a business for those social networks. It's a business for Meltwater, that information is available to us. We actually offer a solution for audience demographics and audience insights, which goes into extreme depth about community creation and affiliations between people. And that allows you to actually understand, like, when they're online, what types of posts do they like? Which influencers, journalists, or popular people do they follow? Do they follow them, or do they engage with them as well? So you can actually get an understanding of who the right people are to potentially work with in an influencer capacity. So it can, there are opportunities out there to get quite in depth, but then maybe I'll go back to that lower budget one. Social listening is extremely powerful.
Yes.
And if you are able to subscribe to, and obviously I work for Meltwater, I'm very biased, but there are excellent social listening tools out there. So if you're able to subscribe to one, that allows for you to do your own modeling. And most social listening providers allow for exporting into Excel files. And I would, in the Excel files, some standard data that you get is, say, location. So if you're able to listen to your brand mentions, export into an Excel file, and you can see things like, is most of your audience currently talking about you or communicating with your content from Vancouver, or is it Toronto, or is it somewhere in the States and you had no idea? And then that allows for you to better target your audience next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely being able to be in tune with all of that will only help your cause and dealing with clients and knowing what their needs are. And
Yeah, I think a big recommendation for listeners is if anyone has the ability to subscribe to a software. I think that's an obstacle for many organizations. So making the assumption that you're able to subscribe to software, leaning into it as much as possible. And really, maybe a question that I would encourage anyone is, how can I look at this differently? Can you show me this data set in a different view or in a different way? And you're not necessarily looking for something specific. You are looking for a different view, because that might be enough to uncover something you didn't know before.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you keep on top of all of the changing, the new technology, the new social platforms? How are you keeping on top of these trends that are coming up so quickly?
There's a couple. So Meltwater is great at keeping us informed. We have a very, very strong product team. and our product marketing team actually keeps informed. We have regular product meetings, and we actually have someone that sits in our Canadian team that makes sure that everyone is properly informed on what to do. Because sometimes changes, like Facebook just made a change a couple of weeks ago that directly impacts how our clients monitor Facebook content. So sometimes a change happens overnight. There's no opportunity to know these things. Facebook makes a decision and then we've got to react. And we're the front line. We need to be able to inform our clients and stay abreast of everything that's going on. So I would give a lot of credit just internally, but then podcasts are excellent. I actually listen to, I think it's the Wall Street Journal, but don't quote me, but it's called Tech News Briefing. And it is a 12-minute podcast. I listen to it every day. And it's just what's going on in tech. And sometimes it doesn't relate to me. And I just like, okay, that's cool. But then sometimes it's like, oh, Google is making a change to cookies. And that's going to impact the way that we're able to track some of our data that we offer for our clients with regards to SEO and SEM. I need to know about this. And that helps bring me down the path of learning what's going on.
For sure. And the complete cascade of effects that it has every single time something like that happens, which is
all the time.
Sometimes on the daily. And trying to keep on top of that.
Exactly. And there's just a little bit of accepting, like, I'll never know everything. It's impossible. And as long as I've accepted that, and you and I might get on a call and you might have a question for me that I don't know the answer, well, I'll hang up the call and I'll go find out and I'll come back with an answer.
Yeah. What would you say to smaller agencies that don't think that they could afford a professional monitoring service like Meltwater?
Okay. I would say that for a very long time, every organization in the world lived without a media monitoring service. Social media and particularly online news became available before the likes of Meltwater and our competitors came around. So I think there should be some confidence in that it's been done, it can be done again. Now, this is a little different than back in the day. Things are more private, especially across social. So I would say the beginning stages are really excellently built out. Google Alerts are a great option. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think the only free option when it came to media monitoring. And then for social, a little bit of a dance, because you can do some of your own manual monitoring. Like you could go onto Twitter and you could type in, I don't know, I'm trying to look for a brand here, but Apple, I have an iPhone. So you could type in Apple and you could see those, but you get really inundated with content. So when it comes to social manually, my recommendation is to keep it small. Unless you have someone that is very, very smart with Excel, because you can do very good keyword modeling and searching in Excel. I cannot teach anyone, but I have heard that it can be done.
But it takes an incredible amount of time.
It does take quite a bit of time. And I think that's maybe the trade-off. So I would argue, and you would know better than me, having gone through this process yourself, but I would argue that kind of our base subscription at Meltwater is less expensive than hiring someone to do all of this work. But if you don't, if your media monitoring requirements as an agency aren't so large that you have that person and they're able to execute on these media monitoring tasks plus others, then maybe it's not worth it. You just kind of need to accept this longer process, but you're saving the budget for now, and then see whether or not the demand actually justifies the cost down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And what that ROI is at the end of the day.
Always.
Okay. Are you up for a little rapid fire round of questions?
Let's do it.
All right. So one word answer, no wrong answers. First thing that comes to mind. And I'll just run through some questions.
Love it.
What was your first job?
I scooped ice cream at Laura Secord.
Night owl or early bird?
Neither.
Cat or dog person?
Was a cat. Parents just got a dog. I think I'm into dogs.
First thing that you marketed?
I was a Red Bull can sampler. I was a wings girl in university and I gave out free cans on campus.
Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark.
What is your favorite word right now?
I would maybe just say pause. I think I'm very focused on like taking a break and getting back to things I like. Yeah.
Nice. A movie you love?
The Holiday. Oh, nice. Diaz.
A favorite song or album on repeat right now?
I don't remember the album name, but I am listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers album quite a bit lately because I love the song Scar Tissue.
Nice. If you weren't doing this job, what would you be doing?
I think I'd be traveling. I think I'd be trying not to work.
Professional traveler. Nice.
Professional Nomad. Traveler.
What is one app on your phone that you can't live without?
Audible.
Best thing you bought for under $10?
This plastic hair elastic that doesn't pull your hair out.
Yes. I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, they're great. They're
oh,
so
yeah, the
good.
Coils. Nice.
Yeah.
Guiltiest pleasure.
Super random. PC makes a chip called Loads of All Dressed. I have an addiction to them.
Nice. Your most treasured possession.
I have some jewelry that was my grandmother's. That would be irreplaceable.
Nice. Is there a business or a marketing book that you'd recommend?
There is an excellent, I'm forgetting the author right now, but I can send it to you afterwards. It's called Drive, and it's all about motivation and focus. And I really loved it when I read it.
Awesome. Do you have a life hack that you'd be willing to share?
Time block your calendar.
Good one. Yeah. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
I have thought about this many times. Teleportation.
Maybe that'll help with your traveling.
Yes. Why fly when you could just get to where you're going?
Exactly. I'd like to be on a beach right about now with a margarita in hand.
Now.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yes. What does the future hold for you? What lies ahead for Nicole, yourself, and for Meltwater?
Yeah, I think internally, I love the position that I'm in. I like to work with the people that I'm working with and hopefully take on more responsibility and maybe bigger teams down the line. As a company, I'd say it's going to be really interesting to see how we integrate those acquisitions. And that's really where my eyes are, particularly around Owler. I'm very curious to see what we'll do with that. And then actually my partner and I are planning a move to Vancouver. So leaving Toronto and moving to the West Coast. I thought I'd share that
Amazing.
With you.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to get together then. I've got, my husband's from Toronto. So, and I'm out here. So he knows all about what
Amazing.
That move looks like.
Amazing.
Awesome. And any lasting words for someone that's just starting out in media intelligence or data?
I think it takes a lot of curiosity to be very good in this industry. Like we've talked about, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of noise. It's hard to navigate. So being the person that has leaned into their constant learner, I would argue is the best way to be successful. And then ultimately that's going to make you more confident. And I think when you're trying to progress your career, whether it's in media intelligence or data or beyond, that confidence does actually go quite a long way.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure chatting all things data and media with you. And I'll look forward to welcoming you to Vancouver.
Thank you. It was really nice to meet you and get to talk with you today.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.